Our topic today is a topic of this time of the year, for it's a topic of how we deal with our families and how we talk with them as we work from day to day. The Apostle Paul addressed Titus in regard to this matter of how we're to be people who serve the cause of God. He exalts God, and he mentions how that God brings about the things that we need. In our individual lives, we need this, and in our families, we need this. It is the grace and mercy and peace of Titus 1, verse 4. These things, one by one, solve every kind of problem that we may face. If we have grace, mercy, and peace, and in the right order in which they are found in our words that we speak, the choice of the thoughts that we have, the kind of mannerisms that we bestow, the kind of actions that we have to carry out, whether it's our individual life at work and the place of making a living, or it's in the home and the family and the holidays or around us. These three characteristics can solve any kind of problems that we face. Grace. What does grace do for us? Well, it saves us, as we mentioned there in Titus 2, verses 11 and 12. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. What does it teach us to do? To deny ungodliness and deny worldly lust, and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. What does the grace of God do for us? It is teaching us. It's not just one of those things we say, well, it's unmerited favor of God. I'm glad I've got that unmerited favor of God. We are thankful that he has taught us by his good grace. He's taught us to deny some things. There are two great things that the internet brings to us, that movies bring to us, that other friends bring to us. Deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Things that are not of God. Things that are not righteous. Oh, it may be that it suddenly appears. It may be that it suddenly comes upon us. But as the old adage was, we can't keep the birds from flying over our heads, but we can surely keep them from building a nest in our hair. We can do that. We can resist that way. And when we're taught by the grace of God to deny ungodliness, deny these things that are not of God. There are words that are not of God. There are actions that are not of God. There are thoughts that we have in mind that are not of God. It may be that our mind has been struck with a memory of something by way of a movie that we see, or internet site that is there, or something like that. But have the courage and have the strength enough to follow God's grace to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. And to live in a positive way, three positive notations are given there. Live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Can we count the number of accidents that take place? The United States has its United States Department of Highways and Transportation to say that they can count the number of accidents that take place because of the lack of sobriety. The lack of sobriety is not just the fact that people take a drink, and that is the idea of drinking and driving. That's certainly opposed. But today, our minds can get inattentive to the driving that we're doing by way of the modern phone that we have. The idea of texting as we go down the road is not only something that is against the law of the land, but it's something that is against God's principle because it robs us of our sobriety to see what is in front of us. When we don't see what is in front of us, just turn off the lights in your house. We walk at about a pace of 2 miles per hour. Our regular walk is about a 2 mile per hour walk. Just turn off the lights in your house and just walk through the house. Well, I remember that late good brother, he was up in Nashville, Tennessee, and he was working there, and Brother Ira North, he said when he was down in Texas and he was talking about this subject, he said, when I get home to Nashville tonight, He said, I'll turn on the lights before I dare go across the living room floor. I'm married to a woman that is wonderful. She is great. She's wonderful. But she loves to alter where things are located in the house. She loves to change their location. And he said, why should I break my leg falling over something that she's put, what I think, out is in the middle of the living room floor, when all I've got to do is clip on the light? He said, I know a lot of men that make a lot of issues out of that. I know they'd talk bad about a good woman who's put things out in the middle of things. But he said, I can solve that problem. I can just turn on the light as I go across the floor. Well, you and I, in our house, we know them pretty well. We know the door frames pretty well, right? We may have more blue eyes than we do otherwise when we come back to services if we do that. Just turn off a light and go through. Be sober in your walk. Be sober in your activities. Be sober in your driving. Be sober in the sense of what we're saying to one another. If we're forgetting that this person is one that's married us, this person is special to us, and just say just any old words and do any old mannerisms toward them, are we being sober and are we doing righteously? And when it comes to the study of God's Word and God's will and reading a little more about His message and a little more application that should be made in our daily walk of life, are we godly when we're at home? Are we godly when we're with our friends? When the words are said and the old story is told, and it may be humorous as it can be, but it may be as ungodly as a theme can be. Do we find ourselves bowing our head? Do we find ourselves saying, oh no, no, that didn't need to be said and I don't need to hear? Live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's what grace does for us. Grace can solve an awful lot of problems and difficulties that we face individually and with families as well in our day and time. But it not only says to Titus, you have this wonderful grace of God guiding your life, but he also said you have mercy that guides your life. To be merciful means to pay attention, not only to ourselves but to others. We pass by people all the time that are in need of something. They're in need of friendship. They're in need of holding the door for them, and they're right behind us instead of walking on through the door and letting it slam behind us and in front of them. We need to be people who are cautious and thoughtful about other people's feelings and mannerisms. Say, well, that's a different race of a person. That's a different person from background. That's a different nationality. Well, pay attention, however. You know, it may very well be that that person is the best mechanic that you ever be around. That person is the best person in accounting that you can ever be around. That person is the best in law that you can ever be around. That person may be a judge and you don't know it. Hold the door. Look around as I go inside. Don't let that thing just drop behind me and that's their trouble when they come in behind me. That's their trouble if they walk into a door with a shut. Be thoughtful, be merciful to people. And the more that we're merciful to people, our Lord Jesus taught us that that is more of a friendship base that we will have. As we find ourselves enjoying the friendship with others, it'll not be because we just passed them by. It'll not be because we never said a word to them. It'll not be because we never were kind to them. It'll be because we showed some mercy for others. But look at the mercy that we ask of God. And Jesus twice in Matthew chapter 18 noted the following about this. If you do not from your heart forgive others their trespasses against you, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. What did Jesus say? He said, be forgiving. And in that being forgiving, it is illustrative a way of mercy in our lives. When we find ourselves not having to, but wishing to, be merciful in our words to others, merciful in our actions toward others, merciful in our thoughts about others. Why, it is a case that we can make sales where we wouldn't make them otherwise. We can enjoy prosperity where we wouldn't have it otherwise. Mercy has brought it to our door. Mercy has brought it to our lives. Have a person who is filled with the grace of God to solve problems and mercy that extends the friendships that we have in this world in which we live. What a blessing. But then he says also in Titus 1 and verse 4, have not only that which is graceful for life and that which is merciful in life, but he says have peace to be a part of your life. When we're talking about peace, we're talking about thinking ahead of what we say. Because in Colossians 3 and at verse 15, Paul notes, let the peace of God rule your minds and lives, and be ye thankful. What am I thankful for? I'm thankful that peace can rule my heart and life. But when I look up that word rule, and we should look up words that we think we know the English meaning of, but it may not necessarily be the original meaning of. And such is the case right here. That word rule in Colossians 3 at verse 15 is the word we know pretty well because of our sports events. It's the word umpire. Let the peace of God umpire your lives and your mind. What does an umpire do? He calls the game. He calls what's happening on the field. He calls what he sees, and sometimes we all know that he calls what he doesn't see. And that's one of the rules. One of the rules of taking those classes and studying that matter is to be a person who sees something and calls the play on the basis of what's seen. He's a correct umpire. When an umpire gets to calling things that he thinks, he assumes, and he's not at the right position to see if that contact was made, or if in fact, I missed that microphone when I swung that arm. Why you find that going on in life? Because you umpire it. You make a decision on that basis. When you and I find ourselves umpiring the words that we chose to speak, when we find ourselves umpiring the thoughts of this sermon to present today, present them on the basis of needs that you have seen and experienced in this community as you lived here, Robert. Talk about the way that we're supposed to speak to others, the way we're supposed to act toward, and the way that we're supposed to be merciful to others. Be a person who is godly in our ways of thinking and ways of doing. I know that I've mentioned it before and along the way, but our worship services need to be as attended on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights as they are on Sunday mornings. We need to be a part of growing in that knowledge and sharing the experiences we've had in life that tell us that it's not as easy as saying it. It's not as easy as those words are presented to us. That it takes some time on our part, takes an effort on our part. And once we do that, we can find ourselves doing that and a wonderful blessing. God himself is overlooking this. And when he directed Paul to write to Titus about this, he directed him to write to three things that help us individually and with our marriages as well, in our families. He taught us to have grace, mercy, and peace. Peace that rules our daily walk of life, the words that we've chosen, and the activities we have engaged. We find ourselves so blessed as a result of that. We find ourselves growing and being the people that God would have us to be. When we find ourselves doing this, we're following a way that he taught to the brethren at Crete was a way that they should live. As I close this lesson today, I recognize that Paul was writing to Titus about these things on a special island of Crete that he said they were sorely criticized. In Titus chapter 1, the latter verses of the chapter, we note that these people were known to be people who were liars. These people were to be self-controlling, self-indulging. And not only did he accuse them of that, but he said, these things are true. This witness is true. This is a true way in which we're doing. teach these people to get away from this. When these people were in need of that and practiced that way of life in their ways of dealing with one another, they needed the grace of God to instruct them and guide them. They needed the mercy of God to be a part of their hearts and lives. They needed the peace of God to umpire their words of choice and their mannerisms of life. When you and I find a way in which we have salvation, we find a way of the grace of God's teaching for that salvation to be ours. Isn't it a wonderful thing to have a song like we're fixing to sing to remind us of our position with God? Let's stand together as we sing this song of invitation this morning.
When we walk with the Lord in the light,
for being here today. Come and be a part of the service tonight. Brother Ed Castile is a quality man, and he looks forward to coming up this way and presenting this stuff for our school's benefit, for our students' benefit. Great tonight. It's our close of year lecture program that he'll be doing and answering questions for y'all. And I guess on Wednesday this week we'll have our regular classes and everything at 7 o'clock. Look forward to seeing you at that time. God bless you.